depends how much trouble I'm in as to what the name I get called is. Well, for those who don't know me, my name is Tim Cowles, and I lead the team here, and it is great to have you with us. It's great to be here together. Again, I love being here on Sundays where we get just to worship together, or pray together, and see what God's got in store for us. And over these last few weeks, I've been just sharing different encouragements that God's placed on my heart. So on week one, we're just sort of sharing about God's gift of grace over us and how he loves us and how he loves his church, and how when we just get to reflect on that, we know that actually it just helps stir us up in terms of our love for God and our love for one another. And then week two, we're looking at the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We had our lovely lunch all together, and we were looking at, well, actually what God can do with the little that we offer, how he can just magnify that for his purposes, and that impactful things can happen from our small offerings. And then last week, we're looking at the importance of building healthy teams in the life of the church. And, you know, so much so, you know, this morning we saw an example of that, how we want to grow our teams here so that we can be providing and supporting to all the needs of the church. Whether that's practical, or whether that's spiritual, we can bring what we can offer to help the church. And next week, it's going to be a busy Sunday. We've got the shoebox appeal going on, but we've also got Malcolm coming along to us, who's going to be coming and is going to be preaching to us, and he's going to be praying for Emma and I as we step into this new role, in this new season. He's also going to be praying for us as an eldership team and for the church, that God in this new season will just bless us as we carry on continuing the work that God's placed on our hearts to do. And over November, I sort of mentioned it, I bundled through it a little bit earlier, but I'll sort of just say it through now. In terms of in November, we want to try and launch a process of recruitment about how we can recruit each other to kind of like the needs of the church and the teams that we have, especially on Sunday mornings, where we can all say, can we help in different practical ways and get involved in the life of the church? And so we can all have like an understanding of, when are we serving? When are we just here? When are we... when can we go away on holiday or just have a week off and things aren't going to just fall apart? We want to help build good, healthy teams that will allow us to do that as we move forward. So that's coming up. But we're going to be looking at the last installment that God's given me around this sort of these early building blocks. And just to kind of kick us off, I wonder, is anyone a fan of the Where's Wally series? Anyone knows, you know, the Where's Wally? Any good fans got those books? If you're unfamiliar, the Where's Wally books are, you've essentially got to find Wally. Now, Wally dresses in blue trousers, and he has a red and white striped top and a little red and white beanie that he wears. And you've got to try and find him and his friends in all these crowds, in all these pages, and got to see how quickly can you find Wally in the books. And it's challenging because obviously monks trying to find someone in a crowd, you've also got the challenge of where they like to throw in those little red herrings, you know, where they sort of like these little structures that are red and white, where you think, oh, there's Wally. Oh, no, that's a tent. That's not Wally. That is a tent. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. We're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit at work. And I've just been feeling as God was preparing me for this, I was thinking, I've been resting with God. What is it that you want me to preach on around this? Because, you know, we could talk about the nature of the Holy Spirit. We could talk about, you know, just teaching on the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I was kind of getting sort of myself a bit of, I don't know what I'm meant to be preaching on, Lord. And earlier in this week, I was listening to a preach on my drive into the office, and I felt, and the person who was talking, he spoke about Acts 10, about the story of Peter and Cornelius, and I felt like a little jump in my heart when he sort of said that. It wasn't about the main focus of his talk, but as he sort of shared that story, I just felt a little jump in my heart, and I was thinking, God, is this the moment, Lord? Is this what you want us to look at on Sunday? And so once I stopped in the car park, I read it, and I was thinking, Lord, are you sure? You know, if you had that, you're like, are you sure this doesn't quite fit to what I thought you might want us to do? And so I then started to think, I'm going to change, you know, the plan, Lord. And then over the week, as I was sort of looking at other areas, I just felt God kind of bring me back to it and bring me back to it. And so I just want to be faithful with that and just trust that actually God is going to speak to us this morning through it. And we're going to have a time at the end of the message just for ministry around the Holy Spirit. We believe that God wants to speak to us through his Holy Spirit. These songs that we've been singing, that he wants to meet with us. And so we're going to give space and time for that at the end of the service. But we're going to read all of Acts 10. Now it is 48 verses. And you may be thinking, oh my goodness, 48 verses on a Sunday morning. That's going to be his entire preach. And it's going to be close to, because we're going to stop and look at just a few different things. But I truly believe that God wants us to hear from this story. And so actually, as you often think, let the word do the work. You know, the Bible is the one that does the work. We just try and bring some snippets to help guide us and look at things as we go through. And the good thing about Acts 10 is that it's a narrative story that flows through. So we're going to see Cornelius meet with the Spirit. Then Peter encounters the Spirit, and then Peter and Cornelius meet up. It's not like a sort of reading a whole chapter of Romans, which is a letter on teaching and instruction. We kind of think, oh, that might be quite heavy. This is a story. It's story time. Do you know, Matt was saying to me, we went to a commission leadership conference. We went down together for a day, and he was giving me some feedback on my preaching. And he's saying, Tim, you've got a lovely voice for story time, you know. And sometimes, he's like saying to me, sometimes, Tim, I can find that I could just be like, oh, that'll just lull me nicely to sleep. Don't think he's being particularly rude, but I was just, you know, thinking about just the softness. And it's like, oh, you need to kind of, you know, have a bit more passion and just energy around it. So that's what we're going to try and do, as I've been trying to do more over this. But this is story time. So I'm going to be scanning. If I see anyone yawning, okay, there's a handheld. I can come out to you and just give you a nudge and say, wake up. It's the Spirit saying that, not just me. But as we go through this, I want us to be thinking like the Where's Wally books. Who are the characters here? And actually, what is the Spirit doing at work? What is God's Spirit doing in this passage? And where is God's Spirit at work? Key questions for us to consider whenever we read the Bible. But I think particularly here, because we're not necessarily going to see a lot, but there is stuff in there where we can see the God's Spirit at work. So I want us to dig deep as we go through it together. So we'll read, we'll pause, we'll unpick some highlights. They're going to come up behind me. And if you've got your Bibles, it's Acts 10. But I'm just going to pray first. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that is always at work. Lord, help us to see you at work this morning. As we listen to this story and as we look at it, Lord, I pray that you would unlock things, that your Spirit would do a work in our hearts that would stir us and inspire us for what you've got in store for us as your church and as your people individually. So Lord, we ask, even now, just come, Lord. Come over us right now with your Holy Spirit. Pour over us. Amen. So we're going to look at Acts 10, 1 to 8. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to that. They're going to come up on the screen behind me. So enter Cornelius. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angels who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So we're going to pause there. Enter our first character, Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman. Cornelius is a Roman who's in the army. He is an officer. He is a captain. He is in command of 100 Roman soldiers. And yet he is God-fearing. He is God-fearing. He has a healthy respect and a healthy understanding of God. And we're not talking about Roman deities here, what they believed in. We're talking about the Jewish God, a Roman. Jewish God, a Roman. And he's well respected by the Roman, by the Jewish community. The Romans have been occupying Israel for about 100 years, where for many they've been oppressing. They've been bringing tyranny, they're bringing law and order from a Roman perspective and restricting freedoms. And yet we have a man here who is well liked by that Jewish community. And he prays regularly to this God of the Jews. And during his time of prayer, he receives a vision. One of our key questions, what is God at work? Well, you see him right here. And God says to him, Cornelius, Cornelius. God knows his name. No, God knows his name. God knows your name. God knows the name of every person out there. He knows their name. He knew our names before even we were formed in our mother's wombs. How good would it be to have a vision of with this clarity, a vision from God with this much clarity coming into our time of prayer? And the angel of God instructs Cornelius with what to do. Send men to find Peter. This is like first century AD. They didn't have Google Maps. They don't have the yellow pages. You know, being asked to be like, you might as well just say there's a needle in a haystack. But do you see how, you know, when God is asking of something, that God can speak very specifically through his Spirit. And we can skip over it and think, oh, that's, of course, you know, of course, you need to go find Simon, who's called Peter. That's a bit weird in itself, right? If you're someone else, what's happening there? And then, by the way, he lives in Joppa. And by the way, he not just is residing in Joppa, where you've got to send your servants or whatever to go to this city, this town, to try and hunt around. He's actually staying with a person called Simon the Tanner. You go, okay, that's helpful. But you know what's more? Simon the Tanner lives by the sea. God can be very specific to us. And his Spirit can be very specific to us. Maybe we need to ask God when we're sort of in our time of prayer, God, can you be really specific to me? Can you be really, because he can be. We see that here. What would you do next? Cornelius immediately summons two of his servants to go, well, obviously, I want you to go and find this Simon Peter. But there's a nice little thing in here where we also see that the importance of the value of the task that is at hand, because he sends one of his trusted soldiers. You know, they would have been traveling from different cities, and he sends a soldier, a Roman soldier, to support, so there's not going to be trouble. You know, he's going to say, I just want this to be done and done quickly, and you're not going to mess with a Roman soldier on this way because they're still under the rule of the Romans. And so we see that he does what the Spirit asked of him. He prays regularly. He sees the Spirit, encounters the Spirit, and then he acts on what's been asked of him. They say the first person to hear a preach is the preacher. And I was reflecting on this, being like, wow, what's my prayer life like? Just had an encouragement from Mike and Ica to get involved in joining in prayer. I was like, oh, I wish my prayer life was like this. You know, I just encounter God and say, God, will you speak to me in my time of prayer? That can be for us. That can be for us. And so we're off again. We're off again on the story. So we're going to go to Peter's, see how Peter joins up next. 9 to 23 just follows on. So about noon the following day, as they're on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never seen anything impure or unclean," or never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. And while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Peter is up next. Again, he prays. He's spending time in prayer. He encounters God. And he gets hungry. I wonder, did anyone else find that? You sort of think, I'm going to get up early. You might start praying. You start your time of prayer and you think, oh, I'm a bit hungry, actually. And your time of prayer, you know, the eye might slightly open. You sort of look at the time. You go, oh, I think I need to just want to get on with my day. You know, we want to have a perseverance in our prayer. But God is preparing Peter for the inclusion of the Gentiles, so the non-Jewish people. That's what's happening here. We're not going to speak too much into that. Again, probably have loads of preaches into in itself. But God has promised the inclusion of every nation into his kingdom, the opportunity for every nation to come into his kingdom. And Jesus proclaimed that in his commission to them in Matthew 28 and Acts 1, that they would go to the very ends of the earth and to all nations. And Peter has a vision, and God's revealing to him what he has done. That he has made it so that all these things are cleaner. It's not up to human prejudice anymore to say who or who isn't included in the promises of God. It is God's decision to say who is and who isn't included. And Peter is always a slow learner, or God likes to reaffirm him three times. So it's another time we see him learning three times in a row. And whilst all of this is happening, the three men that have departed from Caesarea to Joppa have arrived at the gate. And they're calling out. They finally found where Simon the Tanner lives, by the sea, where a man called Simon, who's also known as Peter, is currently staying, and they've arrived outside the house. And I love this, as there's almost like a vision of their knocking, and the Spirit is saying to Peter, "Hey, Peter, there's some people outside, and I don't want you to be afraid, because there's a Roman soldier outside. I don't want you to be afraid, because I've sent them, and I want you to go with them." How encouraging is that? I've sent these men. And we find another step where there's, as I said before, there's prayer, there's vision, and then there's a pathway where there's either you go down one route, which is, I'm going to follow what you're saying, and we've got the option to go down another route. Peter could have said, "Don't open the gate. You're right, thank you. I'm going to stay here." And we can also find that sometimes there's a middle ground where we can sit on the fence. And as they say, you get splinters, because the hesitation moment can come and can go. And we see that Peter, trusting in God, says, I'm going. I'm going to respond into this. There's another reflection I just want to make on this Peter section. Elizabeth was praying into it earlier about our hearts being changed when we encounter God. You notice how at the very end, the last verse of that little section, verse 23, that after that vision that God gives him, that Peter's heart has already shifted, that he invites these men, these Gentiles, these Romans, into the household. It's not his house, but he invites them into the household as his guests. He invites them in as his guests. God is doing a work in his heart where he's saying, actually, yeah, you're welcomed. You're welcomed in. Every time we encounter God, we don't go away unchanged. You know, we encounter him. We're going to continue. Acts 10, 23 to 48. The combining of Peter and Cornelius says this. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up, stand up. I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. It's a lovely story, end to end, of God at work within Cornelius, God at work within Peter, and God bringing them together as the starting point and the key to unlock what God's next phase was of his mission. Cornelius calls all of his family and his close friends. You know, if you had a vision from God where he said, send for this guy. My wrist went a bit twitchy there. Send for this guy. And then what would you be like? Be like, I've had a vision from someone from God saying, I want you to get this guy. And all of a sudden, you're saying, well, he's on his way. He's on his way. This guy is on his way to us. Everyone, family, close friends, come, because something's going to happen. If God has given me a clear vision and said, I want you to send for this person, what do you think is going to happen when we gather together, when he arrives? What might he say when he arrives here? What would drive or encourage you to gather family and friends to this place, the church? Be like, God is here. God is here. He is at work. Cornelius is a good guy. We see that he is a guy who is fearful of our God, who prays to him, who does good works. But do you know that's still not the route to salvation? Even for all those things, that's not the route to salvation. There's only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus. It's what we believe. And Peter shares that gospel to him in a very, very simple way. Says it to him in a very simple way. But it's the Holy Spirit that transforms. It's the Holy Spirit that unlocks in that situation. And you know, as a preacher, you kind of have what you prepare, and you want to bring what you prepare. But you see that even before he's finished speaking, the Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming on these people, even before he has finished speaking. And Peter might be like, I've got more to say, Lord. I've been preparing on my day and a half over here. I've got more that I want to bring. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, I'm here. Peter, I'm here. I've asked of you to come. I've asked you to explain. But now I'm here. And the Spirit descends. There's just some summary points I want to bring before we're just going to have a time of just waiting on the Lord and asking the Lord to come here and meet with us. Firstly, is that when we pray and encounter God, you know, his Holy Spirit can guide us in a radical and specific way. You know, do we have faith to trust in the calls that he is asking of us? Do we have faith and trust with urgency and passion? I wonder what that could look like for us. I don't know. I wonder what that could look like for you in terms of your working day. These two servants and a soldier, whatever they had planned in terms of what their day was going to look like, God interrupted that and said, I want you to go on behalf of your master to go and find this guy called Peter. What might happen if we let our, you know, if we wake up in our morning and say, Lord, how will you use me today? Lord, please will you use me today? And we just find ourselves having our, in a way, in the course of what we've got planned, just being interrupted with God saying, I want you to do these things within that. The gospel has power no matter how simple you think you're bringing it or how clumsily you think you might be bringing it. The gospel has power. Because God is already at work here. We can see it because we can see the entire narrative. But Peter, the early leader of the church, has no idea that God is working in Cornelius' heart in a city somewhere completely different until these men arrive at his door. You know, as a church today, we need to be clear that we don't have the corner market on God's Holy Spirit here, because actually God can be doing what God wants to be doing, wherever God wants to be doing that. Whether that's amongst our friends, our family, whoever that might be, we don't have the corner market. We get to experience and enjoy it afresh when we gather, but God is the one who is at work, and he is on mission, and we see he is on mission in Cornelius' life in a city far away from where Peter is, and then his missional purpose comes into contact with Peter, and Peter has a chance to respond and the chance to play his part in the mission that God's placed and the purposes that God's placed over him. I was often wondering about this in terms of different colleagues where I've been having conversations with them where I think, oh, I wonder if there's a God opening in this moment. Like, you know, and I say this about the Where's Wally situation from earlier, because thinking, actually, how do we have a mindset that we say, God, are you at work right now? How do I, oh, that was an interesting conversation. God, are you doing something? You know, went to a friend's 30th birthday party last night, And the birthday girl, she had a crucifix just around her neck, a diamond crucifix around her neck. I was saying to Em, oh, do you reckon, you know, What's that about in some ways? Because obviously I know it's just jewelry for some, but I was thinking that maybe there's a God moment in there. Thinking actually, how do we unlock some of those things and go, actually, God, are you at work here? And what's going on? And Lord, can I be a part of that process? Because that's what Peter does here. Cornelius turns up, his servants turn up at his door, and Peter says, all right, yeah, okay, I'll come along. I'll see what God's got in store. We could surprise ourselves by what God's got in store for us if we ask God and ask him to help reveal these things to us. This is the last reflection I just want to make for us. We gather together as a church, not because we're just about doing good works, not because we love hearing our worship team or, you know, being entertained maybe through the word or understanding our Bibles, but we gather together as a church to bring glory and honor to God. That's why we gather, because he has done so much more. And we want what we have to offer in our worship and our praise and our times together to be that memorial offering to him that we saw earlier. And we, as a church, want to have deep roots to kind of follow God's direction, wherever that might be, through the Holy Spirit, that we want to be sensitive to his leading and his direction. You know, even if it means we have to change our plans, it's this challenge to us all, even if it means actually, well, we're always going on this journey, but God's saying, actually, I want you to go slightly differently. We must not squeeze out God through the rigidity of our structure and say, well, actually, you know, and well, every Sunday we meet, we have our notices, we have some time of worship, we then go into the word, and then we kind of have maybe a worship song to close, we might have teas and coffees, and we end and we say, there we go. We must not squeeze out God because we get into a habit of just the formulaic kind of, this is how we do things, and then we each come, we go about our business. But we are a church that believe that God's gifts are for his church today. The gifts of his Spirit are for his church today. And you know, we've seen them worked out here in the past, in the present, and we're going to trust that God's going to work them out in the future here as well. That as co-workers with God, you know, the same Holy Spirit that he anointed Jesus with is the same Holy Spirit that we can be anointed with. That can bring power, that can, as Jesus prayed for the sick and for those who were trapped and for strengthening and for release of things, that same power can rest on us because it's true and that's what we believe. One and the same. So what we're going to do, I just want to invite you, if you're able, why don't we stand? And we're just going to give some space to God. If you feel comfortable, one of the ways in which we sort of can demonstrate to God that we want to receive his presence, his Spirit, is to just open our hands and just almost like we want to receive from him. Let's just do this now. There's no need to rush. We're not looking to move on from this time. Father, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Your people. Holy Spirit, will you come? Holy Spirit, will you come? Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Let's just keep receiving. Let's keep staying in this space. Holy Spirit, your presence descended on this gathering here at Cornelius' house. Descend on us, gathered here at Jubilee, in this place in Shepparton. Descend on us. Lord, come. Come. Yeah, Lord Jesus. Come now, Lord. need you for all you've got in store for us. All you sharpen where it's been blunt. Lord, will you bring freshness where it feels damp? Father, Spirit come, Spirit come. Yeah, Lord, deposit in us your Spirit. Anoint over us. Yeah, Lord Jesus, come. Come. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yeah, Father. Keep drawing in. He sees our hunger. He sees our thirst. He knows what's going on. Keep drawing in. Spirit, come. Keep pouring. Keep pouring, Lord, over us. Overflow in this place, Lord, we ask. Lord, let it be uncontainable. Uncontainable presence of you. Stir us up, Lord. Stir us up. Lord, more of you here. Lord, we want more of you.